rather the accumulation of all our knowledge of physics, light, sound, heat, photography, radio, all those things combined to make this one whole. It's an evolution rather than an invention.
If I asked you to imagine a nice, healthy breakfast, chances are there'd be a chilled glass of freshly squeezed OJ somewhere on the table. The global orange juice business started out when Florida orange growers had too much fruit. They'd had a bumper crop and were looking to flog off all the oranges before they went rotten. With a mix of savvy marketing and a tasty product, OJ hit the big time.
And the cold, cold juice in the tank truck caboose stays as fresh as the Florida sun. Roll on, big O.
Crooner Bing Crosby even got in on the act too. But is the orange juice we buy in the shops today really so fresh and pure? Here in New Zealand, there's been a number of prosecutions over the last decade against a few producers over claims they've misled consumers about the real contents of their juice. And in about 15 minutes, we'll put some of the biggest brands of juice on sale here to the test to see if claims like no added sugar and not from concentrate really stack up. The results may surprise you. That's if you're easily surprised. Plus, I'll speak to the Commerce Commission on the situation today. Just recently, we've had some high-profile juice manufacturers in the headlines. So, can we trust the juice that we're buying? But first, how has orange juice become so closely associated with health, freshness and purity? Just a few weeks back, my 7-year-old son asked me for a glass of vitamin C with his breakfast. Now that's good marketing. Alyssa Hamilton's the author of Squeezed, What You Don't Know About Orange Juice. And Alyssa, why is my son asking for vitamin C when he means orange juice?
Well, that's how it's been marketed. In fact, that's really how it started. It was designed to be a good source of vitamin C for soldiers fighting overseas. And so it was that. But, you know, most of us have other options. And in fact, a whole orange has more vitamin C than a glass of juice. Part of the reason all of us drink orange juice is, well, in part because there was a surplus of oranges in Florida. This actually all started in Florida. And the growers really were trying to get consumers to consume more oranges to mop up all their oranges. And they started sending juice extractors to homes across America and actually even the world. Obviously, if you drink a glass of juice, you're consuming more oranges than just eating them whole.
And they give these away?
They actually did give them away. It was called the Florida Citrus Exchange was the organization that started this program.
And these were essentially just what they were, like orange presses, were they?
Yeah, they were manual orange squeezers. You know, what you would, what you can imagine. This was in the 1920s, so it wasn't anything very sophisticated.
But, so that's when the surplus, I mean, and that was pretty innovative at the time, wasn't it? You had, I mean, a group of growers, so they were operating as a community, make a decision to give away technology that increased the consumption of their product. I mean, that was quite a sophisticated thing to do.
Exactly. The exchange came together in the 1920s, and what they had to decide, either should we cut production or should we try and increase consumption? And they went the latter route. And that's really where orange juice started. And then the war came along, World War II, and the Army wanted a juice that at that time, the only available processed juice on the market was a canned juice, and it had a reputation for tasting like battery acid, so the soldiers wouldn't drink it. So the Army, in combination with the government, funded research into developing a more palatable tasting juice. And
what did they come up with?
They came up with frozen concentrated orange juice, but convenience took over, and now either the concentrators reconstitute the juice for you, or else there's also the option of pasteurized orange juice. And that really came after frozen concentrate. The technology developed enough with respect to pasteurization to be able to have a product that you know, didn't taste cooked, which it essentially is when you drink it.
So give us a period here. So are we in the 50s?
That's right. The development, the invention, it was a team of three scientists who invented frozen concentrated orange juice a little bit late for the war, 1948, and they took out a patent for that. And then that's really when the juice industry started to boom. They hired Bing Crosby to croon about orange juice, and the initial company actually was owned by the government, and then they sold it and eventually became Minute Maid. And so Minute Maid was really the first company that was advertising its product. Bing Crosby had some shares in Minute Maid. They worked out a deal where he would advertise in exchange for some stock options. And that was a pretty good decision for both parties.
And was Bing's proposition at that stage, was he crooning about the fact that it should be consumed as a breakfast drink, or was it just to generally just throw it around the place and get into it?
He talked about it being tasting just like fresh. That's really when, if you think about it, there aren't too many products that actually advertise themselves where fresh is what what you want to buy. Orange juice is really one of them, and it started with Bing saying, it tastes pretty much like fresh squeezed juice. If you think about it, like, for instance, tomato juice, you don't want tomato juice to taste like freshly squeezed tomatoes. You're actually buying the product for the processed flavor. But with respect to orange juice, there's always been this idea that what you're drinking is a pretty much freshly squeezed juice. And of course, at that time, it wasn't either. It was a frozen concentrate.
We had frozen concentrate, but along comes not from concentrate, which means essentially that it hasn't been reduced and then rehydrated. I mean, is it as simple as that, that essentially the juice has not been diluted or been played with at all?
Well, that's how they market it, but no, it's not as simple as that. And that's... I talk a lot about not from concentrate because it is, you do pay a premium for it, and it is sold as a fresher, higher quality product. And in fact, it's just as manipulated as the other juices, the other processed juices on the market.
What's happening to it?
Well, for concentrate, if you're, the big brands, and this doesn't apply to all orange juice, but I'm talking about the juice that most of us are buying. And, in order to provide a year-round supply, oranges don't grow year-round. So in order to provide a consistent product throughout the year, the big companies store the juice in... They have to store it to be sure that we have a supply all year. And when in order to store the juice, it sits in these huge aseptic storage tanks. So what that means is... The juice is stripped of oxygen, a process called deaeration, so that the juice doesn't go bad in the tanks, so it doesn't oxidize in the tanks. Well, when you strip the juice of the oxygen, you also strip it of flavor-providing chemicals, which are volatile. They escape with the in the deaeration process. So you're left, really, what's sitting in the tanks is... would taste like sugar water if you tasted it coming right out of the tank. So what they have to do is they hire flavor and fragrance companies, the same ones that make high-end perfumes, to engineer flavor packs to add back to the juice to make it taste fresh. So this is a pure, simple, straightforward product that you're getting in,
that's been highly manipulated. And yeah, I mean, the flavor packs, you say, I mean, these are reintroduced. I mean, so we've got a preservation process that allows supply to be maintained throughout the year. The aeration, basically by stripping out all the oxygen, you're losing all of the volatile oils and a lot of the aromas and the characteristics essentially that make it orange juice. And then
exactly, they're
reintroduced later on by flavor profilers, by people who basically... reintroduce it back in. I mean, is that so wrong? I mean, it doesn't sound...
Yeah, no, and wrong wouldn't be the word that I would use, but it is misleading because it's not simply adding back what's lost in the juice. That nobody would deny the fact that what's being added back looks nothing, resembles nothing that's found in nature. So, for instance, ethyl butyrate is, you can imagine how sophisticated this technology is, the flavor technology, when they're hiring flavor houses what they do. They make perfumes, they make colognes, they make flavors for pop, they make, it's a sophisticated technology and product that's going back the flavor pack. So I started to mention ethyl butyrate is one of the chemicals that the industry has discovered Americans associate most with the flavor of a freshly squeezed glass of juice. So they emphasize ethyl butyrate, for instance, in this flavor pack. Maybe in Australia or New Zealand, it would be a different chemical. We all have different tastes, different nationalities have different palates. So,
oh, really? So orange juice has different profiles based on country?
Correct. So a flavor pack going into juice probably in New Zealand would look much different than a flavor pack going into juice sold in North America. And, I don't say it's wrong, but this is something that isn't declared on the package, and it should be. It's not listed as an ingredient, and this allows the companies to pass their product as a simple, pretty much, freshly squeezed juice. You can see an infamous logo is the straw punctured into the orange. I mean, that's what people think they're getting, and this would be at least a start if the companies had to declare the fact that they have, natural, even if it said natural flavor added as an ingredient, it would be an indicator that this is not,
it's being manipulated
product.
But I mean, as consumers, let's face it, I mean, we want convenience, we want shelf stability.
That's right, and I just think that people should know. I mean, if you ask people, most of the reactions I'm getting are people are stunned that their juice is not freshly squeezed, and there's no problem, if consumers know what they're getting.
I mean, today if you go to the supermarket and grab a shelf stable, like, Tetra Brick, here in New Zealand a lot of orange juice get sold in these Tetra Bricks, these sort of bricks that you pop the lid on. I mean, how old could that be? I mean, again, you're right. I mean, it has this notion of fresh. It's got sort of drips, photographs of sort of moisture condensation on the outside. It looks fresh and it tastes quite fresh.
Well, and it tastes fresh because likely, I don't know about the product that you're talking about, but any product that's manufactured in high quantities and is available year-round and has, like a 60-day shelf life is bound to be heavily manipulated, stored in tanks. The juice can stay in the tanks for over a year in these aseptic storage tanks.
Have they been pasteurized, though? Does it have
yes,
to be?
Yes, they're not from concentrate. All not from concentrate orange juice is pasteurized. Now, these days, they're actually shipping full strength, so not from concentrate juice, in the aseptic storage tanks.
Briefly, Alyssa, what should consumers be looking for, or what are the questions maybe they should be asking of their orange juice that they throw in? I mean, obviously the orange juice can't reply, but they can maybe find an assistant in the shop and ask a question or send an email to someone. I mean, your call is for more transparency. What can the consumer do?
That's right. Well, the consumer can certainly ask for this information. The more we ask, the more industry, the more regulators will listen, and the more industry will have to, change their labels to declare, for instance, ingredients that pulp wash should be considered an ingredient that should be declared, and so should flavor packs. So the more we ask, the more pressure there is to get regulators to crack down on these practices. You could also look for, I know in Australia they started a campaign in 2006 to local grown orange juice. I think it's a green circle with a smiling orange inside that says, Australia, grown in Australia, something to that effect.
So buy local.
The more, buy local.
But I mean, so at the end, it sounds like the message really is: if you want a good glass of orange juice, get the little orange, chop the little bugger in half, and squeeze it and drink it.
That's what I would say. Certainly, in it, you know, then you're supporting your growers. I've been saying that here. It's Valencia season from March to June, and Florida Valencias are so delicious. And, you know, if you just buy a bag of oranges and, yeah, I mean, that's the best way. I understand that convenience is a concern. And so there are products out there that, first of all, I would caution to be cautious about products that have a shelf life of 60 days. So if you really, you know, if it's too time consuming for you to squeeze your own, I would say look for the local seal. Here, there's a Florida stamp. In Australia, I know there's one. I don't know about New Zealand. And also, you know, look for products that don't last for 3 months in your refrigerator. A freshly squeezed juice lasts a few days.
Cheers, Alyssa. Alyssa Hamilton and her book, Squeezed, What You Don't Know About Orange Juice, is published by Yale University Press. Now, we checked out the position here in New Zealand, and according to the New Zealand Juice and Beverage Association, most of those processes that Alyssa mentions and describes are being used here too. So, not from concentrate or NFC products sold here in New Zealand are pasteurised and then stored aseptically prior to repacking. This leads to de-aeration. The association also says flavour is used to replace the flavour that's lost during the manufacture of juice concentrates, but it says flavours can't legally be used in not-from-concentrate products. Finally, regarding the ethyl butyrate, that's the chemical stuff that tastes like orange that naturally occurs in fruit. It says it naturally occurs in all fruits and would never be added by itself to fruit juices. Now, as I mentioned before, it's not unheard of for juice makers to be economical with truth about what's in their products. In fact, just a few weeks back, the Commerce Commission said it was prosecuting the makers of the Simply Squeezed range under the Fair Trading Act for adding pulp wash and other fruit juice concentrates to its supposedly 100% squeezed chilled orange juice. So, can consumers trust labels like no added sugar and not from concentrate when they're buying orange juice at the shops? Well, we sent five of the country's biggest juice brands, Just Juice, Kerry, Arano, Charlie's and Golden Circle, for scientific testing. I'm with Dr. Karen Rogers at the National Isotopic Centre here in Lower Hutt. And Karen, we gave you five different orange juices a couple of weeks ago to test. What have you actually been looking at?
Okay, Simon. Well, what we did was we took the five juices here to GNS, to our stable isotope laboratory. And what we wanted to look at was, is there cane sugar added? And to do that, we look at the isotopic signature of the carbon specifically, because carbon can come from carbon coming from cane sugar has a completely different signature to carbon that occurs naturally in the fruit. So we ran these for carbon isotopes, and what they told us was that there was no added cane sugar whatsoever. These juices, all these five juices, are completely cane sugar free.
And the five juices we've got here, there's a Charlie's, there's a Kerry's, there's a Golden Circle Premium Juice, a Just Juice, an Arano, 100% squeezed. And I guess that's a good thing, isn't it, for the consumer? Those results are pretty pleasing.
Well, it tells us that the truthfulness of the label is accurate. Certainly in the past, and we're talking like 10, 15 years ago, we could do juice testing and not all juices would pass.
So the industry has got its act together.
The industry is definitely getting its act together.
Now, the next thing we looked at was whether it's not made from concentrate. And that was problematic. I know when we were looking at these products, we went to the supermarket, we had a look at the labels. It took ages to work out what was and what wasn't in them. We then went to websites, again trying to work out whether they had sugar added or were they from concentrate, and it seemed like there's a lot of marketing gobbledygook but not a lot of facts for the consumer, which is not really ideal, is it?
Well, the problem is in the pricing structure, really. You're paying premium prices for what is purported to be pure fruit juice, and that's really what we're getting down to. Are we paying for what we're getting? And if you have to pick up in the supermarket or the service station, wherever you're purchasing your juice from, if you have to pick up your drink bottle and really hunt for a good few minutes to try and find out what on earth it's from, I don't think that's particularly good marketing on behalf of the juice organisation or the juice manufacturer.
Now, we were looking to see if the products that claimed that they were not from concentrate had any signs of water added. And in this case, you were looking at the oxygen isotope. Because
that's right.
Just to refresh, I mean, you can follow these isotopes through, and actually they have a signature that will tell you where they've come from.
That's correct. In New Zealand, we have a very narrow range for oxygen isotopes from rainwater. Now, this rainwater is falling on your fruit trees. And basically your fruit trees are taking up the groundwater, the surface water and groundwater, into the plant, and that's sent off to the orange. Now the orange doesn't take the exact signature of the rainwater that's falling. It changes it in a slight but predictable fashion. So we can actually make a measurement of the oxygen isotopes from the rainwater and the oxygen isotopes from the fruit juice and relate that back to a region where the oranges could be grown. So we are not only able to tell, is this fruit juice from oranges made in this particular region, but has tap water also been added to it to dilute it? And what we found was we analysed the premium not from concentrate juices, and happily they all came within the expected regions, apart from two, which were quite unusual. And when we looked at them a little bit closer and we went back to the websites and we looked at the labels, you can see here that they say made from Australian and imported ingredients. Well, these showed up as coming from oranges that were definitely not from New Zealand. So we can tell, yes, they are from Australia, or perhaps even oranges that are closer to the equator than Australia. Now, as for our concentrates, we didn't need to run these really, because we did know they were going to be from concentrate with tap water added, and this in fact showed us quite clearly that they were from juices that had been diluted probably near Auckland.
Really, you can actually track the water, you could geolocate the water source through that oxygen isotope.
We know the tap water signature for various cities around New Zealand, and we're able to relate the oxygen isotope back to what we're seeing in the juice.
I mean, how accurate can you get? Can you get down to sort of street, like, oh, it was, you know,
65? Definitely
65?
Not. No, we can definitely say that it's North Island, probably Auckland region or upper North Island region. And as it happens, that's where most of the juices are manufactured, produced and distributed anyway. So
now, before, you were saying that, I mean, especially here, we look at the label here, and this is on a Charlie's product, made from Australian and imported ingredients. That's imported. Does it also say that on the golden circle? Let's have a look here. Product of Australia. Okay. So you can actually, I mean, the fact that you can tell where the water has come from by city means that you can tell where the oranges have come from by country, or is that more problematic?
Yeah, it helps to tell us a little bit about where oranges can come from, but oranges can come from numerous places: Brazil, Chile, Europe, Australia, the Philippines, all around the equator areas as well. And this can be quite difficult to sort out where they are from. What we do know is that Australian oranges tend to be around a certain number, and surprisingly enough, the golden circle, which is only coming from Australia, had it very nearly the same values as the Charlie's. So we could practically say that the Charlie's juice in this particular Tetra Pak here is probably made from solely Australian oranges at this particular time. That's not to say when Australian oranges aren't available, they won't use something else.
And there is this variance in the industry as supply and demand changes, juice makers source products from different places.
Oh, absolutely. It can't be easy for the juice industry to ensure a steady supply of fresh oranges for their juice.
So to sum up, we're pretty happy that the claims on most of these labels, well, on all of these labels, is in fact true.
Well, they are. The truthfulness, I guess, is one of the biggest issues here. We've been hearing quite a lot in recent times about juice products and other products which don't always support the claims they make on their labels. And it's really reassuring to know that you can go into the supermarket at the moment, purchase these products, and we can have confidence in what we're purchasing and paying for.
Thanks to Karen Rogers from GNS Science in Lower Hutt. So all the results from our five juices came back A-OK. Well, all seems to be rosy. But what about this recent Commerce Commission prosecution against the makers of Simply Squeezed? Graham Gill's the manager of the Commerce Commission's Fair Trading Branch in Auckland. And Graham, how much confidence can we have in the labelling on fruit juices that we buy in the shops?
Well, I think that consumers can have reasonable confidence that they are getting what they want. It is important that obviously businesses don't mislead customers about the contents of the juice, and that the customers should get that accurate information so that they can make an informed choice and get the product that suits their needs.
Because that hasn't always been the case with the juice industry, has it?
No, there have been a number of issues dating back 14, 15 years where there have been false or misleading representations as to the contents of juice.
Right, and so it mainly has to do with the way the juice is represented on the package versus what is actually in the package when you go to pour a glass of the stuff.
Yes, that's right. It's issues such as the juice representing that it's fresh, the country of origin, 100% blackcurrant or orange or whatever it might be, pure, freshly squeezed, no preservatives, those kinds of issues.
And can we just spend a second, let's just drill in and have a look at some of those label claims. I mean, 100% pure, what does that actually mean?
Well, in the Commission's view, 100% means 100%. So you cannot claim that something is, for example, 100% freshly squeezed orange juice when it's made from concentrate or it's got mandarin juice in it or whatever it might be. There is no wiggle room with 100%.
Okay, and what about freshly squeezed? Because that sounds very subjective. I mean, every orange at some point had to be squeezed, and I'm assuming it was fresh when it was squeezed, but freshly squeezed on a label, that's a curly one, isn't it?
Well, it is, because it does depend upon the label itself, and you need to look quite specifically at the facts of the particular case. So in the Commission's view, if you're making representations such as, freshly squeezed or something along those lines, it needs to be made quite clear to the consumer exactly what you mean by that. So you can't say, well, that's just our brand name and of course customers don't expect it to be freshly squeezed because we tell them on the label, around the back that it's actually made from concentrate, and it could be made from imported constituents as well. That kind of leads into another issue that you can't disclose stuff in the small print which alters the overall impression of the label.
Right, so you can't put freshly squeezed on the front and on the back said made from reconstituted oranges from Pakistan or India or Hawke's Bay?
No, in the Commission's view, no, you definitely can't.
Now, recently you guys have prosecuted a Hawke's Bay outfit, Simply Squeezed. What was the issue there against Simply Squeezed? Because the idea, if you've got a brand like Simply Squeezed, I mean, that pretty much says 100% to the consumer, doesn't it, that it's simply been squeezed?
Well, look, the Commission's taken a number of different actions against Simply Squeezed. We are prosecuting Brownlee Brothers Limited, who trade as Simply Squeezed, for breaching the Fair Trading Act in relation to a television advertising campaign from 2008. That matter is before the court, so I can't say any more about that. However, in relation to the labelling of the products, we are of the view that the overall impression given from the label, including the word Simply Squeezed, were liable to mislead consumers, when the front label only has a description, chilled orange juice. So we are saying, look, Simply Squeezed, you need to have another look at your label and make sure that it is not liable to mislead in the overall context of that label.
So are you concerned, or does the Commerce Commission have concerns about the way that orange juice products are sold here in New Zealand, specifically about the labelling and the way they're marketed?
Well, we have had concerns and we have taken action about it. As I said a little bit earlier, generally speaking, I think customers can be reasonably confident in the information that they are receiving. As I said, it is about informed choice, having accurate information and making sure that consumers are not actively misled about the contents of the product. Customer satisfaction is not the aim of the Fair Trading Act. The aim is to ensure that customers have that accurate information in which they can make the best choice that they wish to make.
But the fact that the commission investigated, I mean, there was an industry-wide investigation in 2002, must have meant that there were some concerns at that point. There were a couple of prosecutions that came as a result of that investigation, weren't there?
Yes, there were.
Who brings the claims? I mean, I know having had a look at a few of the documents, it's often their competitors. So it's, you know, brand X versus brand Y, and they'll, you know, battle it out in court.
Well, we do receive complaints from competitors, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. We also receive complaints from consumers. We treat them all equally. You know, the Fair Trading Act is about ensuring effective competition, so it would be quite natural for us to receive complaints about competitors. In an industry which can be quite technical, such as producing orange juice, that inside knowledge and scientific testing that competitors do, it is quite pertinent and provides us with relevant information.
I mean, that's the challenge, isn't it, for your organisation, is you're dealing with food technology that are always slightly ahead of the curve. They're ahead of the legislation. There's a margin where they can operate within that's a grey area, let's say.
Well, I'm not sure if I'd call it a grey area. I think that you know, one of the challenges for us across a range of industries is that technology is changing and we need to keep up to date with it. In a lot of areas, you know, companies will try and push the envelope to get a competitive advantage.
But as a consumer, and has been proven by researching this piece and going to buy orange juices and looking at websites, I mean, you know, I do this for a living, you know, research stuff, and I've actually found it really hard. And I know my producer Richard, you know, has, so has Karen Rogers from the Isotopic Centre. I mean, when we were all trying to work out what was actually in and what they were saying, I mean, you know, it was sort of, we had to really rack our brains trying to work out what was in the juice. And to me, that's not really ideal.
Well, look, I think ultimately, you know, the customers will decide which juice they wish to buy. And if they feel that they are being misled or they're being fudged, they will take their dollar to a competitor and spend it there. So, you know, ultimately, you know, if you're trying to mislead your customers, it will come back and bite you in the backside.
But as customers, Graham, I mean, as consumers of a product, I mean, the only way I'm going to work out if something's been put in there untoward or something that's not clean on labels is by, you know, rocking up to a lab and paying for a test, which is what we've done. And, you know, thankfully we didn't find anything untoward. But is that really viable for consumers? I mean, how many consumers go out and off their own back commission tests?
Not that many. We do get some. And an example is the action we took against GlaxoSmithKline with Ribena a couple of years ago. However, you know, if customers have issues or they think there is a potential breach of the Fair Trading Act, then they're more than welcome to come to the Commission with their concerns and we are able to test products if we believe there's also likely to be a breach.
Right, so if you had a bunch of complaints about product X, I mean, that would then, you'd say, right, let's put some money into this and actually conduct some experiments and actually look and see what's going on with this product. I mean, is that as simple as how the sort of mechanics of the commission?
Yes, it is essentially, you know, if we sense that there's likely to be a breach, then we will look more closely at it. You know, if there's prima facie evidence that, you know, consumers are being misled, you know, we will take that seriously. If we feel that, you know, we need to look across the wider industry, such as we have done with orange juice or any other industry, then we will do that. You know, we want to ensure that there is effective competition in the relevant markets.
Graham Gill from the Commerce Commission. Finally, we did approach Simply Squeezed for its comments, and it says it accepts the outcome of the Commerce Commission's inquiry into its advertising and labelling and will be making changes to address these concerns. So, in summary, if you're after 100% pure, really freshly squeezed, not from concentrate with no added sugar, squeeze your own oranges. They taste good and it can be a bit of fun. But really the message is, if you want to find out what's in your orange juice, you're going to have to read the labels. It's worth poking around the websites. Have a look, make the correct decision based on the information, and hopefully those juice manufacturers will stay honest.